Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thank you very much. Well, I do have a word for you, for us, and I firmly believe it's from the Lord's heart. And I haven't been able to get out of the book of Daniel for a long time now. It's just an epic book. Do yourself a favor. Go and soak in that for a while. Incredible. Incredible. Okay, so a little while ago, I realized that somebody had been spending up on my credit card. Megan promised it wasn't her. And I knew this time it wasn't me. So I contacted the bank, and sure enough, somebody had stolen my identity somehow, and they had gone on a shopping spree. So the bank told me the steps to take on how to get my identity back. Did you know that over 2 million Australians every year are defrauded? They have their identity stolen. That's over 40,000 a week. That's just crazy. Crazy numbers. I want to talk a little bit about identity today and how we can get our identity back, because we've all had it stolen in some way. We've all had it damaged in some way. I'm going to have a quick look in the book of Daniel. We'll start off at chapter 1, verse 2. The Lord let Nebuchadnezzar capture Jehoiakim and take away some of the vessels used in God's temple. And when the king returned to Babylonia, he put these vessels in the temple of his own gods. One day the king ordered Ashpenaz, his highest palace official, to choose some young men from the royal family of Judah and from other leading Jewish families. The king said, "They must be healthy, handsome, smart, wise, educated, fit to serve in the royal palace. Teach them how to speak and write our language, and give them the same food and wine that I am served. Train them for 3 years, and then they can become our court officials." 4 of the young Jews chosen were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, all from the tribe of Judah. But the king's chief official gave them Babylonian names. Daniel became Belteshazzar, Hananiah became Shadrach, Mishael became Meshach, and Azariah became Abednego. Daniel made up his mind to eat and drink only what God had approved for his people to eat. I'll say that again. Daniel made up his mind to eat and drink only what God had approved for his people to eat. And he asked the king's chief official for permission not to eat the food and wine served in the royal palace. Interesting. Now, down the track in Daniel's life, he spoke into the lives of many kings, 5 kings, interpreted their dreams and supernatural writings. Many of you would know he got thrown into a den full of lions that were supposed to eat him, but God shut the mouths of those lions because Daniel had been totally anchored into God himself. See, he had determined in his heart to do all the will of God. So it's an entirely amazing story of some young adults who had undergone a military siege of their home and city. They had likely gone without adequate supplies for quite a while, maybe a year or even more. They'd lost friends and family, homes destroyed. They'd been hauled over 2,000 kilometres. That's like from here to the Gold Coast. They had to... Hopefully they didn't walk that way, but that's a long way from home, yeah? And to top that off, they were assigned with new names, Babylonian names, something that is a little bit odd. So the whole plan here is to take those people out of their own culture and bring them into something entirely new, new food. How many know when you go overseas or to a different place where the food is different? I remember being in Kenya some years ago and the food was a bit different. So it was a lot different. And I kind of missed it. Just we were there for a month or so. And by the time a couple of weeks is up, I was ready for some steak and eggs and things like that. They're a little hard to find over there. So we found an English butcher shop thing and managed to get some small goods and stuff. And I felt a little more at home. But imagine these guys, everything had changed. Their culture, their food, even their name, everything. Even the way they clothed themselves and bathed, everything was different. Somehow these guys had determined fully in their heart to follow God's best in their life. Incredible. In today's society, we've got so many stolen, broken identities. What excites me here is our YAs. I gotta say, it's guys, forgive me. It slapped me this morning at about 5 o'clock as I was up praying. A lot of this sermon is going to be for you guys. I didn't plan it that way, but it's just bang. These guys, Daniel and his crew, were YAs. And they stood up to the court officials and they negotiated. And because of their boldness and their determination to do the will of God, there was much favor poured out upon them. Incredible. Thank you, Jesus. Something is going to happen in you guys today, from today on. I declare it in Jesus' name. Okay, so, oopsies, you forgive me. I look good. Yes, I'm allowed one blooper, aren't I? Thank you. Sometimes when we're away from our roots, from our family, go away from our anchors, it can be easier to stray if we're not firmly anchored. But Daniel, I'm amazed at these guys. In spite of being forcibly taken from their homeland, given different clothes, etc., a different name, he still knew who he was and whose he was. So my encouragement to our YAs and the rest of us wannabe YAs, I've given up, all right? Be determined to trust the word of God and what he says about you. You. And that struck me this morning in worship. This word is for you. Everybody, you are all important. Each one of you are important to God. Come on now. Put God first and he will meet you in your hour of need. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Colossians 3. Feast on the treasures. He doesn't give us piecemeal little bits. Feast on the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities, not with the distractions of the natural realm. I tell you, Daniel and his crew filled their minds with the things of God and not with the distractions of what had taken place in their lives, the trauma and the loss that had happened. Confession time. A long time ago, as a young believer, there were areas where I doubted some of God's goodness. At times I felt that I was sort of accepted by him, but it was quite conditional on my behavior. I felt that I was not anywhere near worthy of his love. And just so you know, I have moved on somewhat from there, but I've discovered the truth. Some of the truth that is a loving, giving, and very present Father. His acceptance is based on the finished work of Christ, not on my behavior. And thankfully, that is true. But I have to remind myself of that. It just doesn't stick with me all the time. I just constantly have to remind myself. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe not. I'm not sure. I just want to bring an example, a very, very vivid example that I had. When I was training to be a missionary pilot some years ago, when I had money and more hair, I gotta tell you, those headsets sort of hurt a little more these days when they sit on your head. You've got to get the really soft cushions. Come on now, somebody knows what I'm talking about. So we were doing instrument flying training, and my instructor, he was a former naval aviator from the UK, Royal Navy, and he was telling me about the importance of scanning your instruments and trusting in your instruments. And he said that he was out flying one night doing carrier operations. Now, flying a jet aircraft is pretty cool, but flying onto a carrier, any pilots here today? Yes, sir, I see that hand. Fantastic. How cool is that? We should have coffee, Jonathan. But flying onto a carrier is incredible, but flying at night, they say it's the toughest job on the planet. Pastor JJ would differ with that. He thinks his job's tough. But I'm telling you that. So he was out flying at night. He was in the pattern trying to get down on the deck, and he noticed above him there were lights, street lights, town lights above him. And he said he was so stressed he couldn't understand what was going on. He thought he was flying up the right way, but all of a sudden there are street lights above him. Not stars, street lights. How many of you know when you're flying up the right way, the street lights should be down there, not up here? So everything was telling him that he was upside down. He was flying inverted. Bad thing. And he told me, he just emphasized the whole deal, that his mind was yelling and his entire body was screaming. His life is on the line here, and his body is screaming at him, turn the plane up the other way, you are flying inverted, wrong, wrong, wrong. Training kicked in, he scanned his instruments. That's the point. He scanned his instruments. Yes, they're saying, you're up the right way, you're up the right way. It was crazy. All right. How often are you and I pushed, intimidated to alter the course of our trajectory, the way we're heading in life? Whatever's going on, the crazies in the world, the martyrdom's going on around the planet at the moment. Life circumstances can show us all sorts of things. But Tony, only when he turned and changed his heading did he notice that there was just a reflection, an illusion, if you will, in the top of his canopy. Somebody had cleaned his canopy really nice. And the reflection was just an illusion, just on the top of his canopy. How important is it to scan our instruments? And for you and I, that is the Word of God, what He says about us. It's only when we turn and change our perspective do we see the power of Christ. When we repent and change our heading, do we see the goodness of Christ and His healthy direction for us. See, Daniel and his peers were most likely orphaned after the invasion of their city, yet they stayed true to the upbringing of their parents, the community, and their God. They had no issues with stolen identity. They fought hard to retain it, and they never wavered in the face, even in the face of death, certain death. What sort of intimacy does God want with us? Intimacy, I said that right. Let me have a look. Genesis 2 verse 7, a really interesting scripture. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The theologian James Jordan described his thoughts on this. You have to get pretty close to someone to breathe into their nostrils. All right, just move on. Imagine the first thing that Adam saw as he opened his eyes after this first breath. He would have seen the very eyes of love himself. In that moment, Adam knew no insecurity or failure, no anger or regret. He simply knew love and acceptance. He was face to face with pure love. No insecurity, no failure, no anger, regret. Face to face with pure love. The kind of love that is life to every part of us. You and I were created to experience His love like that. Face to face with God Almighty. As soon as sin came on the scene, the blame shifting began, the shame, the hiding, all the crazies. But in today's world, rejection and cancel culture, is rampant. Yeah, other people's opinions matter. They do, but their opinion must not form your identity. Our true identity and security come from Christ alone. Did you know that comparison kills joy? Comparison can get in our heads. We can look at what others are doing and then question if we are sufficient. Do I stack up? Am I enough? Am I doing enough? Am I keeping up with the Joneses? Maybe the opposite. Sometimes we may be tempted to think that we're doing better than other people and that we're on a different level to them. Interesting thought. I say, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Scan your instruments. Scan the Word of God and what He says about you. Have a look at Daniel and his mates and what they did, what they went through, how they stood tall and strong, didn't waver in the face of punishment, death, ridicule. Ha, God's favor was all over them. And the fear of not being enough is huge to many people. Just saying. How many of us have been tempted to lie or exaggerate about our bank account or our qualifications on our CV or name dropping about who we know? I know Pastor so-and-so or Hugh Jackman or whatever. But in our behavior, you could ask, does this glorify me or do I want this to glorify me? Do I need to add things to my life? Do I need to build myself up here in the eyes of myself or in the eyes of others? This is one for the guys. No, just for me. Do I react to things my wife says because I feel like I'm in some kind of competition with her? Ow! And that I need to win at all costs. So I make comments and I put her down. Or do I praise her for the good things she does and says and thank God for her and pray for her as an equal, not as a one out, one down kind of thing? Do I try, all right, we're getting to the nitty gritty. Do I try and control other people and put them down to make me look better? Do I try and gain some kind of personal advantage over others? Or do I gently guide them back to Christ? See, people who feel out of control, bless you, generally feel... People who feel out of control generally try to ramp up control over others to make themselves feel acceptable or more in control, safe. Not necessarily bad people, and maybe we all do it to a certain extent, I don't know, but... Maybe they're just hurting people who need our understanding and love and care and prayer. Someone once told me that 90% of relational difficulties are due to faulty identity, a distorted self-image. Just like old mate Tony had in the canopy, he had a distorted image of reality. The truth is that knowing our identity, believing it and hanging on to it can be a struggle. The demonic realm wants to hijack our identity and remind us of our past sins and failures. Our identity is constantly being questioned. Jesus had his identity questioned often. Matthew 4 has got a couple of examples. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones to become bread. If you are the Son of God, jump off the temple. If you are the Son of God, step down off the cross. He saved others, but he can't save himself. If this is the King of Israel, why doesn't he come down from the cross now? And we'll believe him. If. Let's say the enemy comes to us like that too. Save yourself was the cry. You know, that's also been a great temptation. Save yourself. Save yourself. Take control of your own destiny. Eve did that in the garden. She doubted the goodness of God, that God was good, entirely good. Just like me, I doubted that he was all good, entirely good. I had some doubts back then. But over the years, he's proven himself, not just in the word, but also in circumstances, in saving me, in places where I was out of control, where I had no control over circumstances, which I'll show you in a moment as well. One example, hopefully is a little bit of fun in it, but it was a difficult time. But we try and save ourselves because we doubt that God's going to turn up for us. Am I the only one or... Nah, thank you, Jesus. All right, she tried to cover her sin, and we do all sorts of things to stack up our life to make ourselves look good and look better. But let me show you something that Jesus said to some people. I don't think they were just throwaway lines that he used. I think they were purposeful words that he used directly to speak into them. Let's have a look at Matthew 9, verse 2. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Verse 20 to 22. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned to her and said, "Daughter, take heart. Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that very moment. See, Jesus ministered out of love. He ministered healing to her body and his affirmation, acceptance, but identity and belonging as well. He said, my son, my daughter. It's not just a throwaway. That's actually an identity statement. You are my son. You are my daughter. Remember the father said to Jesus, "You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Love. He speaks love and affirmation and belonging. Family. This is us. This is you and I. Everyone in here qualifies for that. Everybody qualifies for God to say that to you. And he does say it. But are we listening, or have we allowed the shiny canopy with the lights to dazzle us and blind us from the truth of God's word? Just saying. All right, here we go. Now we're getting to it. What makes something valuable? Depends who owns it. We're talking about money this morning. We're all good with extra money. That's fine. But what is it actually worth? And what is my house worth, for that matter? Don't ask me. I don't want to tell you. But the first house I bought, I paid 45 grand for it. All right, that was a long time ago. You can tell. And it was small. What are things worth? How do we value things? Simply, it's whatever somebody is willing to pay for it. I was willing to pay 45. I might have knocked them down a couple of grand back then. But do you understand? The price reflects the value that I put on an object. What was paid for me? What was paid for you? Let's have a look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:18 to 19. This is a good scripture. This is going to give us some context around our value. You know that you were redeemed or ransomed or purchased from the futile way of life handed down from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with precious blood like that of a lamb without defect or spot, the blood of Messiah. You were bought and paid for with the life of Christ himself. This was not some bargain basement deal. This was not a bulk discount. This was one for one. It took the price of Christ's life to redeem you. Each one of us. That's what we're worth. We are worth the life of Christ. That's the value that Father God puts on you and I. I'm not defined by my past or my mistakes, even the worst ones, and there's been a few. I'm not defined by what others have said to me, nor by my successes for that matter. I am defined by the price which Christ paid to buy me back. When all is leveled and gone and the only thing remaining is God and I, it all comes down to who owns me. Corinthians 6:20. You do not belong to yourself. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies. And Colossians 2:6. Now that you have accepted Christ as your Lord, continue to journey with him and allow him to shape your life. Verse 10 says, you are complete. You have been made complete in him. Folks, when our behaviour gets messy, it's usually because we've forgotten the price which was paid for us. For me, it's been an ongoing journey of learning and then sometimes forgetting and then remembering. Scanning those instruments. Remember, check the instrument panel. What is the truth here? Not the circumstances, not what my mind necessarily tells me or the enemy tells me. But now it's about abiding in his endless love. This is a good word, I promise you. So remember that it's about when we forget how valuable we are. Have you had your identity stolen? Have you had it damaged in some way? I certainly did have. My dad was an interesting guy. He was a pretty tough guy, but he drank himself to death in the end. He was a mess. And, I could have followed down that same path. But thank God he stepped into my life and pulled me out of the crazies of that. And he's restored, he's shown me my true identity. Come on, am I smiling enough? I'm not sure. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're going to have a smile right now, I think. There's a story here that just underlined what happened to... This is a story, it's a real thing that happened to me just a few years ago, about this weekend, just a few years ago. And it just underlined to me, when things can be out of control, when they are out of control, and you're facing difficulties, and for me, I was really in a pickle in this particular point. But it underlined for me God's care, his love, and how he steps in even when we have no control over the circumstances. So, okay, don't put it up just yet, Andy. I was out with some friends, with a group. So just so you know, I love jet skiing and all things jet skis, whether it's touring around the place, jumping waves in the ocean, checking out the marine life, whatever. I find that refreshing. I love being by the water, in the water, on the water, going fast, big engines, you name it. I like that sort of stuff. It just refreshes me. Not that I'm burning carbon and all that sort of stuff, but that's just a consequence of my fun. So I had one of the kids on the back, and I had full tank of fuel, extra fuel on the back as well. Out with the club, we went out through Port Phillip Heads, and we were going to go jump waves. Now, because I was heavy, I wasn't going to be jumping so much. We were just videoing the guys and just enjoy the day. I wanted to, bless my son and make sure he got a bit of time. I wasn't just hogging the ski time. And so we worked our way out. You can flip that up now if you would please, Andy. I was out there just videoing these guys and we were having a bit of fun. And yeah. That's what we do. We get it on in the water. Love it. And all was good. The forecast was great. It had been flat for days. There was no crazies supposed to happen. So we just parked up around kind of Sorrento Back Beach area, a place called London Bridge. Some of you may know it. And we were just videoing the guys jumping waves. We got a bit separated from one another. Didn't care. We were all good, just chilling. But I turned my back on the ocean, and it was supposed to be calm, but I learned that day, don't ever turn your back on the ocean. She is a wild machine. She's a beast when she wants to be. She? All right. And, excuse me. See, I defaulted back to my mind. So, just look at the screen. Oh dear, help me, help me. Somebody give me a bottle of water. And so I turned my back for just a little bit long. And when I finally looked around, I saw there were massive swells coming in, just popped up out of nowhere. Later the guys told me, yes, we all survived, but later the guys told me they have never seen such big swells turning into waves so fast, never. And like, these are a really experienced crew. So, all right, that's great. I'm heavy. Remember, I'm heavy. How am I going to get out of this? It's only one way, straight over the waves. Like, these are big, steep waves. And so I punched over several of them, but they were just coming in so hard and fast, I couldn't get out through them all. Okay, maybe my skill level is in question here, but whatever. Point being, I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't get across. I raced up the beach. Now the beach, there's no sand. This is rock, jagged lava, kind of rocky stuff. It's shocking. I wasn't going to go into the beach because it's rocks. I raced up and down as fast as I could. Did what I could to get out. No holes to get out. Submerged rocks, crunch, tore a chunk out of the bottom of the ski. I'm thinking, this is starting to get a bit serious. And but I tried to save myself. Of course, what else do you do? No time to ask anyone's help. I got myself into this mess. I'll get myself out. Okay, back over to jumping more waves, more. Yeah, hit one at an angle, and, you know, I was just capsized. And I thought, oh, my. It's like, this is not really Christmas, is it? So Luke and the ski got washed in towards the rocky shore, and in no time he disappeared. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what a day. This was supposed to be a fun day out. I got washed out. Unbelievable. They got washed in, I got washed out. We were in the same patch of water. What is going on? Found myself in a massive rip going out. I thought, oh, that's cool. That's cool. Just roll with it. We're all fine. That's what they say on the TV show. Anyway, then I got washed down the beach and then in and then across and then back out again and across. And I'm like, this is wild. This is crazy. So it's this time of year. The water's not warm. And it's those waves are smashing over me. I got, I don't know, 6 litres of seawater down that day, I think. I was pretty heavy with seawater. It was tough. And I was trying to swim across the rip. It was tough. No way. Couldn't make it. Hardly an inch. No headway. All right. So this is all on body cam. I didn't bring it to bore you with the details because it was all submerged, glug, glug, glug kind of thing. I'm in the water. But about the 17-minute mark, when I'd given up, I'm thinking, I'm dead. I'm dead. I don't know about my son, but I am dead. I am exhausted. I've been working hard to get out of this. Cannot do it. I had a light bulb moment. God's here somewhere, surely. I've read the book, remember? Okay. All right, pray for me. I'm a little slow sometimes. I prayed, Lord, you must be here. I didn't feel anybody. You must be here. You say you're here. Please help me. I'm facing death, okay? So maybe I'm not thinking so well. Just saying, I really thought I was cooked. The funny thing, I didn't have any regrets. I didn't think, like, you know, I've done some stupid stuff, but I was ready to go to God. I go, here I am. And I go, oh, he is here, isn't he? I should ask. So I asked him to give me a hand. All right, great. I practiced this and it went smoother before, I promise you. So, all right, let's get to the point. So a voice came in my head, lie on your back and float. And the brilliant, sharp-witted person I am thought, that is the stupidest thought I've ever had. That was really dumb. All right. So I pondered it for a moment and I thought, well, nothing else that I've done has worked. Maybe I'll just do this. So I floated on my back. I'm telling you, I was imminent death. I floated on my back, and as soon as I did that, peace came on me. Literal peace just flooded me. I go, what is going on? I floated, and it was easy. It was really cruisy. Put my feet up. Let's go. And then I go, oh, where's it going to take me? So we did another lap. And the peace was there. The peace was still there. But then I find myself heading straight into shore. Well, not shore, into a rocky reef at like a freight train speed. Thought, oh, no, God, you've set me up to fail. Broken legs, pelvis, my teeth, whatever. And so I shut my eyes, sort of braced for impact, that kind of thing. And nothing. Like, what is this? And I find myself perched up on this rocky reef, thinking, oh, fine, okay, the waves are going to smash me. Nothing, not a thing, just peace and calm. It was like God had just put me up on this rocky reef. Incredible. Oh, Lord. I just stood up and walked ashore. Piece of cake. Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. So good. So good. He is good. All that time I'd been praying, oh, Lord, you're going to rescue me with a helicopter, okay? I'll go out in a blaze. Hoist me up. Do you know, I'm walking up the beach, and I did find a bit of sandy beach. The rescue helicopter flew in, and I was already out of there. I thought, God, you have got some funny humour. But, you know, he did it to underscore in bold capital, I am here for you, son. And even when it doesn't make sense to you, when things are screaming at you, scan your instrument, son. Scan the word, I am here for you always. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. I am finished on that. Can we just close our eyes and bow our heads right now? Father, I thank you. Thank you for being present in all situations, even when we doubt it, even when we don't know, can't feel you, yet you're still here, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us today by your Spirit. Lord, my prayer is, you know my heart, show us all individually how to respond to this word about what you say about us and how you prove to us that you are good in all circumstances, at all times. Father, I ask, breathe upon us a fresh sense of who we are, our identity, whose we are, and the value that we are to you. Not just some far off scripture, but right here, right now, face to face. You are face to face with us. Can we just spend a couple of moments face to face with him? He's incredibly powerful and yet so gentle with us and so caring. Thank you, Daddy. Would you breathe upon us afresh, Lord? Thank you, Daddy. Can we determine in our hearts to be determined, no matter what, to hang on to His word. His word tells us about our value, how much He values us. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your closeness.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.